Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. What would be different about your life right now if you knew for absolute certain that you're going to live forever? Imagine for a moment. Every time you close your eyes to slumber, you know for certain you will open them. You will be awake and be given another day. Now, this could be a mixed blessing. For some, it's a dreary and painful thought. For others, it's an opportunity, something to look forward to with reckless abandon. But if we are truly honest, we have to ask who among us doesn't roll over in the morning at least once in a while and think to ourselves, is this it? Is this all there is to life? As we age, as time takes its toll on our health and well-being, as the painful memories of what used to be in yesteryear collect in our mind, and we begin to reminisce about the times we imagine were better, though they probably weren't, it's difficult to even bring ourselves to consider what it would mean to live forever. The wisest man ever to live recognized this fact. In fact, he wrote a whole book about it. It is in your Bible, called the Book of Ecclesiastes. He starts out in that book saying, I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a striving after the wind. King Solomon even laments wisdom itself and its pursuit, saying, for in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Perhaps with the wisdom of years behind us, we recognize what King Solomon sees. As we look at the world and review the history we've seen with our own eyes, it becomes clearer and clearer, especially if we have any understanding of world history. A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has been already in the ages before us. Thus far, Solomon. But a hopeless note of despair is struck in these words. Perhaps it is, in some sense, a blessing that it is true what Solomon says. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things yet to be among those who come after. With this kind of ignorance of history, with this kind of short-sightedness, we're at least somewhat protected from the meaninglessness of life under the sun in a world that is corrupted by sin and held captive to futility. As the aches and pains grow, as the flesh begins to fade like the glory of the grass, which is here today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire, it's easy to become hopeless and despairing, recognizing that most of the things that have happened and most of the work of our hands that we've spent so much time seeking to accomplish will be forgotten very shortly after we close our eyes in the sleep of death. And that which is not forgotten, well, that will be swept away in the great cataclysm that will come upon the earth when it is consumed by fire, in that great and awesome day of our Lord. the world is passing away. The scriptures tell us as much. And all that seems important to the heart of sinful man, the beauty of the flowers, the majesty of the works of our hands, the glory of our accomplishments, all of it is passing away along with the world. And everything that is considered desirable. Silver and gold, worldly goods, glory, the accomplishments that we look to in order to measure ourselves, the goodness of our life, even our hopes and aspirations of whatever we may be leaving behind as a legacy in this world. All of it is part of the futile ways that we have inherited from our forefathers, along with that sin which we still carry around in our bodies. Sin which ties us to this futility of thinking so that we behave as if this world is of utmost importance and we're convinced and think that living a life of significance means that we must strive to be the unwitherable grass, the unfading flower, remembered by those who are yet to come. If some of these things are the thoughts that your mind turned to when I asked, what would it be like to live forever? Repent. If you immediately looked at your condition and dreaded the idea of continuing on day after day, waking up each morning only to suffer through another day with aches of body and pains of mind, repent. If you thought that living forever would mean an unlimited amount of time to do something significant, to make a name for yourself, to build something great, repent. We will never build heaven on earth, and the eternal life promised by our Lord is not an eternity in this futile world that we have inherited from our forefathers. When Adam sinned, he cut himself off from God through his disobedience. As a result, the whole of creation was subjected to futility. So long as man is separated from God, so long as man does not receive God's kindness, mercy, and grace in faith, he will always be anxiously striving for meaning and significance. He will remain enslaved to the futility of a life captive to sin. He will be anxious about the present and looking to try to build a better future for himself. And all of that is what leads to regret and sorrow over the past. It's a separation from God. It causes us to ignore and disregard the value, worth, and dignity which God himself has already bestowed upon us. And so, when we're thinking clearly about the world, like Solomon, we see that everything actually is meaningless and valueless. A chasing after the wind, utter vanity and pointless. If you think about living forever, your eyes are cast down to see the things of the earth, repent and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. For Christ died to ransom you from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. So repent. Repent of your seeking. Repent of your striving to retain. Repent of your attempts to regain the perishable things of this world as if they somehow count for anything. Do not be like the women who went to the tomb, not knowing or understanding Jesus' teaching that on the third day he would rise again. And so they spent all night. They spent their time, their effort, their money, preparing spices and going to the tomb, seeking to try to beautify a dead corpse. Likewise, do not be like Peter, who heard the report of the women, ran to the tomb and stooped down and looked in, He saw the linen cloths lying there by themselves, and then, well, he just turned around and went home, marveling and wondering what it all means. Instead, lay hold of the new reality brought about by Jesus through his death and resurrection for you. For the Lord has sent his messenger to you to declare to you that by Jesus' death he has ransomed you from your futile ways, inherited from your forefather Adam. He has ransomed you from your captivity to sin, and Jesus' resurrection is proof. The word of the Lord endures forever. I find a sense of irony that it is Peter who writes our epistle. He went away confused and perplexed from the tomb. And it's him that the Holy Spirit causes to declare to us today, you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Not only was he himself a witness that it was Jesus' blood, not silver or gold, which purchased us, but Peter himself is a model of our own repentance and faithful living. That's why he can so powerfully remind us Jesus was manifest in the last times for the sake of you. You who through him are believers in God. God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are not in the things of this world, in the futility of life. Your hope is in God. Peter has been in the futility of life in which we often find ourselves. Like us, Peter was many times, we see in the scriptures, rash and over-exuberant with hope about building the kingdom of God on earth. That was one day. And then the next day, he was hopeless, despairing, wondering about the point of it all, wondering what even the empty tomb means. But today, we have Peter's reminder. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And this word has been preached to you, the word attached to the water of your baptism, the word which you hear forgiving your sins, the word which you receive in your mouth as you eat the body and drink the precious blood of Jesus. All of it is an imperishable seed implanted deep within you, so that indeed you can be sure and certain you are going to live forever. That changes everything. Now, even the futile things of this world are imbued with purpose and meaning. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits, to show that eternal life belongs to all who have faith in him. And unless Jesus returns first, yes, we will all close our eyes in the death of and the slumber of death. But just as he is risen from the dead, Jesus will awaken us from our slumber, and we will open our eyes and look upon him forever. Now, if we forget this, if we pursue the things of this world on their own, if we seek to derive meaning and pleasure from them, if we look to them for hope and security, well then, like the rest of the world, we will have no choice but to despair, to despise the idea of living forever. So do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by the satanic promise of the ability for man to make some sort of progress in this life. Do not be deceived by the satanic trap that would cause you to despair about the meaninglessness of life either. Think for a moment. Human lifespan actually hasn't increased in some 3,400 years. 3,400 years since Moses wrote what we know as Psalm 90. It has always been true. All our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone. We fly away. Human ingenuity, human progress is a futile hope, a futile endeavor, and on its own it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind, it too will be brought to an end. But for those who have been ransomed from that futility, the futility inherited from our forefathers, even the meaningless things of this life become transformed into a hope for the future. That's what Peter means when he calls upon us to love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Born again to a living hope, our souls have been purified by our holding fast to the truth that Christ has come. He has suffered and died in order to bring new life into the world, to rescue and save the world's inhabitants from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. Not just us, but all people. Those who live in our home, those who live in our neighborhood, our city, our state, our nation, anyone who lives in this world. Now, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, the futile things of this world can be put to good use. No longer do we need to spend our time aimlessly lamenting what has been or what could be different. No longer do we need to put our limited energy and resources into pointless activities, listening to talking heads talk about things going on hundreds and thousands of miles away that we have no way to change. Now we can. Freed from the futile thinking of the past, we can consider that our time, our energy, our effort, whatever resources we have, can be directed and used for something that is full of meaning and purpose. That is, if we use them with an eye toward the future that God is bringing about. Not a future made up of our effort, our attempts to reorganize the things of this world into some sort of better reality, but a future made as Jesus' word goes forth into the ears and hearts and minds of those to whom he will call himself. Having been ransomed from the futile thinking, the futile and meaningless efforts of our forefathers, now we can look at this world in its proper perspective. It is a temporary reality. All that exists now exists merely to be used for the glory of Christ, the extension of his kingdom. That's what Jesus means when he says, make friends of yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, implying that it will, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. We have been rescued, rescued from foolishness and meaningless thinking. We no longer need to conform to the patterns laid down by the generations in the past about how we're supposed to invest our time and effort pursuing glory for ourselves, building up some grand and glorious kingdom on earth for its own sake. Rather, we can invest in the kingdom that Christ is building, which will endure forever. The gospel is proclaimed to the lost souls. When the testimony of Christ has been recounted in all the nations, Jesus says, then the end will come. But until then, Jesus rules and reigns in our hearts, and his word goes forth into the world to subdue his enemies under his feet. This, St. Paul tells the Corinthians. And it must be so. For God has put all things in subjection under the feet of Christ. And when all things have been thus made subject to him, Jesus will deliver us along with all believers to his Father. And in that day, even the final enemy, death itself, will be destroyed. Our mortal bodies will be raised to be with Christ. So repent. Repent of futile thoughts. Repent of expending effort on things that will not last. Be at peace, knowing you already belong to Christ. And the very one who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal body. So live now. Live now with your faith and hope in God, so that you may live with your soul purified by the good news of the gospel. So that you may live obedient to the truth of Christ in earnest love for those who are, even now, your brothers in Christ. Seeking to use what the Lord gives you in the midst of this life, time, effort, energy, resources, in true and earnest love for those who are yet to hear, yet to know the good news, so that they too would become your brothers in Christ. For you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Now you remain here, so that through you the Lord may yet work to ransom and redeem others, as the ministry of Christ continues here and throughout the world. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and keep our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.